All right. Hey, any of y'all ever heard, I mean, we used to say it when I was a kid, I don't know, and even in the 60s when I was in the Army, we did it. Yeah, you know, I said, no sweat. Yeah. Or sometimes say, don't sweat the small stuff. Anybody ever heard that? Over when I was in Taiwan, we used to say, mel gongshi. You know, that's no sweat in Taiwanese. But, you know, we need to not sweat the stuff that the devil's throwing at us. What's that mean? Well, what it means is that, you know, don't be under pressure because of worry and anxiety and being in fear and all that sort of stuff. How many understand what I'm talking to you about? Hello? You know, now I realize that you may be going through something and you may be in the middle of something, but I'm not trying to belittle it, but let me tell you what. In with God, there's no use of sweating it. Hello? You know, Psalms 55:22 says, cast your care on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. And then in the NLT it says, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. He will not permit the godly to slip and fall. And then in Matthew 11, it says, 28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, what you need to understand here, when he's talking about yoke here, he's talking about something that yokes you down, weights you down. You know, they used to have yokes that they put around the oxen's necks. You know, it's something that would keep them in line. And then in Philippians 4, let me give you a chance. I'm going too fast. Let me give you a chance to turn there. Philippians 4, okay. Philippians 4, let's see. I look around and see people getting it in their Bible on their iPhone, pad, different things. All right. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety, or your care, or your problems, whatever, on him, because he cares for you. Now, everybody say, oh, I already know all those scripture, Pastor. Well, you probably do. But my question to you is, are you allowing them to have first place in your life? You know, we can know a lot of scripture and yet still not be letting it rule in our lives. Y'all looking at me funny. Well, you know, we need to be reminded of things periodically. Because if we don't, they just have a tendency to slip away from us. We need to be reminded of them so much until they become a part of us, just like the multiplication table did to you. You were reminded of that thing so many times until now it's a part of you. And English rules. How many of you remember the English rules? What, I before E except after something or other. I remember all of it, but that last part, which is the important part. You know, and you know, all the, you have to be reminded of them periodically, or they just have a tendency to slip away. Did you know the things of the Word of God, unless we were, these basic things, we got to be reminded of them. Right now, they're starting the football season. I got one grandson that started yesterday, I think. And then another one starts Monday. You know, the first thing that they're going to do is the first few days, they're going to be in shorts and T-shirts. And they're going to be doing conditioning exercises that every one of them had done now every year for ever how many years they've been playing ball. Is that not correct? And then, if it's like it was when, and I know it's still, then they're going to remind you of the basic stance. They're going to remind you of the basics for blocking and tackling. All of those things. Yeah, but you were just doing that a few months ago. Yeah, but you know what? Unless we keep up on it, we get rusty. We're not as sharp as we should be. Do you realize the same thing happens to us with the Word of God? If we don't continually keep ourselves up and keep reminding ourselves of what the Scripture has to say about certain things, it slips away from us. And then when we get in the pressure of the situation, you can't perform. See, if you get in the pressure of the game, you got to be in top condition and top form, or else you're going to get beat. That's all there is to it. See, you know, we need to continually, as one person said, wash our minds with the truth, these basic scripture truths in the Word of God. Now, when we look around us, we find out that life is full of burdens and situations and circumstances and all kinds of things. Hey, we look around, we see plenty of things to get us all upset, right? You know, what we fail to realize, though, is that the things around us are a mirage, because everything on this earth is subject to change. The Word of God talks about that. You know, story. A military chaplain, he drew a worry table based on the problems that people have brought to him through the years, and he found that they fit into these categories. Worries about things that never happen, 40%. Worries about past unchangeable decisions, 30%. Worries about illness that never happens, 12%. Worries about adult children and friends who were able to take care of themselves, 10%. Worries about problems that really exist, 8%. So now we look at that chart. So according to that chart, 32% of all the worries about things are about things that people can't control, are about things that do not exist. You know, many people simply don't believe that God is big enough to take care of them. That's why they never give his problems to him. You know, one guy said, "Man, I finally got all my ducks in a row." You ever heard that statement? "I got all my ducks in a row." And then somebody took a shotgun to him. But you know what? Isn't that about what happens? About every time, I mean, we praying and believing, and it seems like we got everything ironed out. And about that time, here come another shot from the devil. Anybody ever found out that happens? All the time. Because if you're not careful, when you've got everything seem to be going good, you sort of relax. Now, when I was playing ball, that's a long time ago, back in the 50s, our coach told us, he said, more people are injured after the whistle blows because they're relaxed and they get hit after the whistle blows. He said, I want you to stay ready to hit or be hit until you're in the huddle with all of your guys. See, and I saw some athletes here shaking their head. But a lot of people are injured after they blow the whistle. Everybody thinks the play is dead. And then somebody lets you have it. If you're not ready, you don't absorb the hit. And you usually get injured. If you're ready to be hit and you're tensed and you're ready, you usually can overcome it. That's what happens to us, you know. We think we got it made, we got it done, and then about that time the devil hits us again and we're not ready because we don't keep ourselves sharp with the Word of God. You know, if you look at yourself, most of the time we become disappointed. When we look at circumstances around us, we become discouraged. When we look at others, we probably will become disillusioned. When we look to God, we'll be delivered. You know, dealing with cares and situations and circumstances that come into our lives, If we continue to keep looking at them, we magnify them to the point that there's failure, there's disappointment in our own minds. You know, the more you think on something, the bigger it gets. It may not really be that much of a situation, but the more you think about it, the more you magnify it until it becomes a situation blown from out of proportion. Have you ever been around when there was just a small problem and everybody started talking and they got to talking and going on, and the more they talked, the bigger the problem got until it was a huge problem? But it wasn't really a huge problem until everybody blew it out of proportion. You can do that if you're not careful. You know, if you're not careful, you'll sort of be like myself. You know, something's on the table, my wife will say, "Won't you? I don't like it." But you never have eaten any. I still don't like it. Come on. You ever notice that we do that sometimes? Hadn't even tried it, and we don't like it. The funny thing is that after we finally might taste it, and it tastes pretty good. But we often allow things that we are facing to become magnified in our own minds until it's unrealistic proportions. But we need to be alert all the time, because the enemy will work on your mind. That's why it says that you need to renew your mind with the Word. The enemy can't get to your spirit. It's been recreated spirit. But he can get to your mind, and he'll work on your mind. That's why you got to renew your mind with the Word. Now, when does he come in to get us all upset and disrupted? Usually when you're tired or weak in body. When you've had a disappointment. When you're alone. And it seems like nobody cares. And he really comes in if somebody offends you. If you're not careful, he will come in and he'll begin to make our situations and our problems bigger than God. That's why I say, don't sweat it. God's got it. When I was growing up, when we said that statement, that meant don't worry about it. Don't be concerned. Nothing to it. You know, my buddy holler at me and say, hey, make sure you do that. I said, don't sweat it. In other words, I'm telling, hey, don't worry about it. I got it. That's what I'm saying when I say don't sweat these things. Hey, God's got it. Amen. You just got to believe that he'll see you through those things and take care of you. I didn't tell you that it might not take a while. Oh, that's like throwing water on a fire, isn't it? But yeah, but if you keep believing, he'll take care of the situation. One guy told me, said, man, I'm believing God, but it's getting worse. I said, just keep believing.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
See, we live in a world that we wanted it yesterday. We just need to believe God. You know, so in the Word of God, it talks about a day being as 1,000 years with the Lord. I've noticed that some prophecies that have been, well, the one about that we're going to have the deal when God just said we're going to have rhemas all over the world, that's 1980. It wasn't until 2000 it started happening. That's 20 years. To us, that's a long time. To God, it may not have been long at all. Especially if 1,000 years is one day, that 20 years wasn't very knowing at all. Come on now. All I'm trying to say is, hey, keep holding on to God. No matter how long it takes. Okay? You know, if we really begin to look in God's Word, we can see what is really going on in life. You know, life actually is a blessing and full of blessings. If you think in line with God's Word. Now, it's not if you think in the natural along with what's going on in the world. It don't look very good at all. But you got to think in line with the Word of God. What God says. Boy, y'all awful quiet tonight. Y'all either turn me off or you're listening very good. I don't know which. I trust it's the latter. You're listening really good. Maybe I'm saying something good tonight. I don't know. You know, even in the worst case scenario, God can still give us the blessing.
Amen.
The worst case you want to think of, God can still bring the blessing.
Yes.
Look at this. If we have a problem, God's got a promise.
Amen.
If we have a situation, God's got a solution. If we have a crisis, God cares.
Amen.
If we're hurting, he has healing.
Amen.
If we have lack, he will provide.
Amen.
When we're disappointed, God reminds us of our destiny.
Amen.
You know, even in the face of an impossible situation, God reminds us, I'm still here. I'm still with you. You know, we could think about some adjectives or adverbs that would describe God's character. Just start in the middle of a situation, start thinking about God. If you have to, use the alphabet. A, God is our advocate. He's always pleading my case.
Amen.
Jesus is my advocate. He's always pleading my case. B, we're blessed. Bible says so.
Amen.
C, he cares. D, hey, we're delivered. What's the matter with me? What am I thinking about? I'm delivered. I'm just using, you know, he's ever present. He's all, wherever I'm at, he's there. Because I take him with me right here. Going on down. He's faithful. He's greater. See, I mean, you can just go on down thinking of words. I don't know what you do when you get down toward the end, but you probably can think of something. Well, he understands. You know. I guarantee you, if you think hard enough, you could think of a word that would describe God or Jesus or God. Hello. See, we need to realize he was there with you when the problem began, and he will be there with you at the end when he delivers you. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. You know, we need to realize what the Word of God says. If he begin a work in us, he'll finish it. See, we sometimes allow ourselves to think more in the natural than we do on the spiritual side. And the reason is because we're being hammered in the natural continually. Through our mind, through our physical being. You know, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we got to consciously, every day, stay in line with the God's word. Amen. Instead of fretting about our circumstances, we need to begin to focus on him. You know, Paul said, told you what to think on. What's true, what's noble, what's right, what's pure, what's lovely, what's admirable, what's trustworthy. Think about such things. Don't think about the problem. When you think about the problem, it magnifies and gets worse than it is. But if you begin to think about the truth of God's word, you begin to think of in the right channel, all of a sudden, things change in your mind and you begin to see that there's victory. Until you begin to think with God, when you're thinking here outside the realm of God, it's all disillusionment, disappointment. Can't ever happen. But you get over here, it's victory. It's I can make it. I can do it. I've got everything I need to make a success. Come on. See, instead of fretting about circumstances or sweating about the circumstances, focus on the faithfulness of God. Anytime you get in a tough situation, stop and remember what he's done for you in the past. How many of you here, God has delivered you out of something in the past? I'm not talking about sin, and I'm just talking about tough situations, something that come against you. Right? Yeah. He's, if he did it once, he's faithful to do it again. Because he said, I never change. So if he never changes, then he'll do it again. He said, Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. God said, I change not. Come on. See, thinking on the problem will cause you nothing but distress. Thinking about the promise of God will give you rest. Instead of wallowing in the bath of worry, begin to worship the wonderful God. You know, some people worry about this and worry about that and worry about something else. And a lot of times, well, according to what our military friend there had when I did the worry chart, 92% of the things that people are worrying about never happen. Or it's something they can't change in the first place. You know, compared to God, nothing we face is really big. Now, it's big to us, I understand that, but it's not big as far as God is concerned, because we sing their song, there's no God big as mine. No problem, something or another. That's a Keith Moore song, I believe. I need my singers here to help me out. Richie's all the way in the back there. But there's no God big as my God. Amen. Today, I can say to you with great confidence, no matter what you're facing or what you will face in the future, God is greater. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than he that's out here. Glory to God. Where'd you get anything out of this tonight? Just don't get all upset over things that's happening. Realize that if you get the word of God, and you're going to go out on top. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight. Just tried to stir up these people's mind to get them to realize that I don't care what they face. I don't care what situation they're in, that you're there for them. You're faithful. You're there to set them free. You're there to deliver. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Stand up. You got something to sing, Patrick?
There is no God as big as mine. Too big a problem you just can't find. And it makes no difference what the devil tries. There is no God as big as mine. Backs against the wall, and your mountain seems so tall, and the enemy is quickly closing in. Oh, you just hold your head up high, your redemption draweth nigh. And there is no God, no God as big as mine. Tries. There is no God as big as mine.
Hallelujah. Put your hands up and thank God for no God, no God. Hallelujah. Nothing is bigger than your God. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Glory to God. If you happen to be in here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, well, you need to know him so you can get in the family of God. If you need to rededicate your life or you need to pray with somebody about a no-soul experience, the people right here, the ladies over here and the men over here, as we're dismissed, you come down here, they'll pray with you, and your life will change forever. If you need anything in prayer, Holy Spirit, healing, any, you want them to agree with you on something, you come down here, they'll pray with you. Amen. Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them back there. We got a very special gift that we put together for you, and we want you to get that tonight. And thank you for being here with us. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. You found it right here. Just come on and be a part of our family. We have a great time serving God unlimited around here. Hey, remember, Sunday morning, back to school, right here in School of the Bible, 9 o'clock, regular service at 10. It's back to school Sunday with kindergartners through the 12th grade. They're all going to be in here. It's going to be a special, special service. So y'all come believing, come expecting. Some of the people are going to wear school shirts. That's all right, whatever, no matter. You know, if you want to do that, that's fine. You know, we in this church, we got all kinds of schools represented around here. So come expecting, come believing. All right, turn around, shake hands with somebody and say, I'm not going to be upset with the small stuff. I'm going to believe God. We'll see you Sunday morning right here. God bless. If you need prayer for anything, come to the front right now. Come to the front right now. Praise the Lord.